This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
This is Spike Lee, and the Michael K. Show starts now. 98.7 ESPN.
Thank you, Spike, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us. I'll let Don take this over.
So that's my list today on Cinco de Mayo, the 5th of February.
Yep, it is Cinco de Mayo, the 5th of February. Hi, everybody. Hope you're doing well. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. We're together for the next 4.5 hours, though. The other 19 and a half, your responsibility. I'll tell you what, Peter, right off the bat, you know it's going to be a big show, because if you look at Don, he's wearing one of his new jackets, and he looks about as good as he's ever looked. It's a window pane, light blue. It looks tremendous. Might call it yummy.
Yeah, I really was proud of myself when I put this on.
I don't know if you ever looked better.
Your boy is so
I'll see
great,
it in
Peter.
Minutes. I'll see. Just give me 2 or 3 minutes, and I'll see it too.
Just give all the information I don't have in front of me. Your friend that sent this to it, because he deserves all the pub in the world.
LV.
It's our friend LV. Yeah. Shout LV. Out to our good friends over at JV, John Varvatos.
You know, it's funny. I had a similar jacket on to Don yesterday, and, you know, Paul is back in his home in Florida doing the game, and so he sees me when we're getting ready to tape the open. He goes, where'd you get that jacket? I said, well, guy I know from John Varvatos sent it to me. He goes, I love Varvatos. I buy all of his clothes. Have them send it to me. I said, no, I don't think that's going to work.
That must be some life.
Yeah, have them send it to me. I said, no, I don't think that's going to happen, Paul.
See, that's the level of fame, right, Peter? Is appreciative of free and expecting free.
Oh, yeah,
see,
yeah.
See, Paul is on that expecting free. Ah, have them send a few over to me.
We're
still
24th
at that level
book.
Of, wow, I got something for free.
Appreciative of free, expecting of free.
Well, yeah, listen, okay. Once you got those rings jingling and jangling, you know what I mean?
That's right. All right, let's start off with what happened last night at Yankee Stadium. And I think that what happened last night at Yankee Stadium, it's going to be interesting to see what happens tonight at Madison Square Garden. Now, it's different, but it's the same. So both teams were looking for some kind of retribution. Yeah. The Yankees... they chose the right way, not to do it by throwing and hitting somebody. They did it by beating them. The Rangers, I don't think that the crowd booing the Capitals is going to be a big deal. I think it was a big deal with the Yankees, with the Astros yesterday, because I think they see their future, because that's going to be the way it is until the end. And I mean the end of their career.
Right.
I think the payback for the Rangers has to be of a physical nature. And, Don, you were right when you read that release by the Rangers. Mike Vaccaro of the Post said it's one of the most amazing releases he's ever seen a team put out. And most people I spoke to could not believe it. The Rangers put out a release that was just so incendiary. I love them for it. I mean, it's like they took my class at the new school.
They want George Parros to resign. I mean, they really, you don't see that often. And listen, it's been a contentious relationship between the Rangers and the NHL for a long time. But clearly they are aggravated by this and they're not hiding behind it. Now, what it does do is, all right, what do you plan on doing about it? You issued a statement. You've made it very clear how you feel about it. So what happens tonight? But last night, this is what I love about New York, Michael, and I think it's so underrated for people that live outside of New York. I don't think New York fans get the greatest reputation around the country because of some of the things that have happened here and how crazy it is for out-of-towners to come here. But what I love about it is the imagination. Make no mistake, last night, the Astros don't care that backs were turned or that chants happened. They don't care. But the rest of the country looks at that and goes, good. The Yankee fans get it, you know? And it goes back to the Pot Van Sucks chant with Ranger fans. It's something that happened, you know, 45 years ago, and yet they still do it here at the Garden. That kind of imagination, that kind of pride, it sets a tone for the rest of the country to say, we get it. This is how we're going to do it. And I was so proud of them last night. That is so New York. It's such an underrated part of the New York sports fandom that they get it, and they kind of know how to give it to the opposition.
And I will say that was the most intense game that I have seen and been at since the ALCS in 2019. Nothing last year compared to it because, obviously, the ballparks were empty. I did not get a chance to do the postseason games, just the pre and post. And this year, the crowds have been spirited and into it, but nothing like last night. The energy, the electricity from the very beginning, like right when we were doing ENN, I told you that they were booing the Astros during BP. And it just continued throughout the game. And the Astros noticed. They spoke about it. The Yankees noticed. And I thought David Cone brought up a good point on our open to the broadcast yesterday on Yes, where he said, not only does that affect the visiting team, it impacts the home team because you realize how much you have behind you, mm-hmm. and it motivates you even more. Now, the Yankees obviously want to beat the crap out of the Astros after 2017 and what they thought happened in 2019. So, obviously, they win the game 7-3, but the crowd was definitely a part of the action last night, and I give mm-hmm. them total credit. The only thing they threw on the field was Mickey Brantley's home run ball that went into the luxury suites right field. Somebody retrieved it and threw it onto the field. Nobody threw anything onto the field. They didn't listen to Jorge in California. Nobody ran on the field. The noise and the chants, that was enough.
And what I really hope, Michael, is one day, like, I don't know, 15, 20 years from now, when an elderly Michael Kay gives me a couple of tickets to a Yankee game to take Marco or Jalen or both, and it's a Yankee-Astro game, and the fans are still booing the Astros. Like, I want Marco one day to say to me, Dad, why do they boo the Astros? They boo the Astros because of what happened, and I can explain the story. This should be a thing forever. Like, they should never let the Astros up forever. Whenever the Astros come to town, they should get the identical treatment. It should be generational. It should be handed down from father to son, mother to daughter, daughter to father. Right? This should never go away. This should be a thing forever. How cool would that be?
Now, the thing that I noticed last night is in order of being booed. Now, there's only five Astros that were on the 2017 team. The guy who got it the worst was Altuve.
Oh, for sure. Altuve.
I think we should call him Altuve from now on. I know it's hard to say, but Peter, let's get the tool in his name.
You
weren't so
close. I
like what Peter just said, though. Altuve.
I wasn't that into that. I just saw the sign, but Altuve is better, I think.
Well,
but it's hard to say.
I was saying this earlier today, and I guess Yankee fans could jump on me. He obviously deserved what he got, and I believe that he will hear that for the rest of his career. Mm-hmm. And when we say that the Astros didn't get any kind of punishment, the punishment for Altuve is going to be, now, they only visit the Yankees three times, you know, a year, you know, three games usually, unless they change the schedule somehow. But his punishment, he's going to get booed all around baseball. And the reason that there was a modicum of sympathy for me, just think about it. Everything that this guy overcame to become a baseball player, you know, he went to an Astros tryout. They sent him home because he was too small. Don't come back. He came back the next day, pleaded for another chance. And they took a chance and signed him. Very small bonus, and if anything. And then he signs a big contract, and he has been a player that you could point to and say, hey, in baseball, any size can make it. He's been somebody that you could look up to, not literally but figuratively, and now he's a villain, and he's a villain forever. And I wonder, you know, we say that they haven't paid anything. I wonder if he thinks, was it all worth it? Because this guy was a pretty good player before they started stealing signs. And I don't want to hear the fact, well, he didn't take any signs. Really? Then why'd they do it? So he got it the worst. He's going to continue to get it worse because he's the most visible player, and he's won an MVP that should have gone to Aaron Judge. Number two was Correa. Number three was Bregman. I don't think even the fans knew that Gurriel was on the team. He got no booze yesterday at all. But most of the vitriol was reserved for Altuve. And he's going to hear it again tonight because New Yorkers are very competitive. So the 10,850 that come here tonight are going to try to be louder than the ones that were here last night. And the same thing with tomorrow afternoon. And I think that it was a perfect situation for the Yankees. They won a game. They got big hits. The crowd could have been unplugged with Bregman's home run in the first inning, but then Stanton, By the way, all you Stanton haters, you're more than welcome to call up.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait. I want to hear from all of them.
Yeah, I'd like to hear every one of them because the guy's hitting 297 now, and everything he hits is an absolute blistering line drive. But his home run in the second inning got the crowd right back into it, and they stayed right into it. And for the most part, every time the Astros came up, the fans were standing. There was an energy and electricity to the crowd. It really did. I know this is a cliche, everybody, but if you were here, you'd know what I was talking about. It had a postseason feel to it. It really did. It had an important game feel to it. And in a stadium that only had 20% capacity, I thought it was remarkable that 10,850 people could be that loud and that effective.
And I think it's a completely different mood today, Michael, if the Yankees had lost that game. Like, we'd be talking about how proud we were of the fans and the booing and all that, but if the Astros ended up winning the game 7-3, something would be missing. So we can all agree that that win was important, and that win came off the bat of Giancarlo Stanton. So, yeah, it's just a regular season game in May, and the box score will show that, but I think any Yankee fan, any New Yorker, any baseball fan realizes the significance of that win, and it was on the back of a guy that also heard the vitriol and booing pretty much his entire career as a Yankee. So maybe this is the turning point for him, because that was not an insignificant win last night. It put him above 500. It's a meaningful game as far as the standings are concerned. But from an emotional standpoint, a lot of what you're talking about doesn't make a lot of sense if you lose the game. And they won the game because of him.
And you wonder, did they win the game because of the impetus provided by the crowd? I mean, we'll never know. It's not quantifiable. But there was something in the air last night. I sound like Phil Collins, but there was something in the air that had an impact. It really had an impact. And there's no way the Astros didn't hear it. I don't know if it impacted the way they played, but they heard it. Dusty Baker said, wow, they really booed Altuve. Altuve did not meet with the media, so we're not sure what he said. But Giancarlo Stanton said, I wouldn't want to be on the other end of that. And this guy who's been booed here, but nothing like this.
Who has been on the other end of that?
But not like this. This was with a vitriol that's reserved for very, very few. And, you know, the Astros now are the enemy. You know, you could add the Astros to the list of the Red Sox, the Rays, and kind of the Mets as the teams that, the fans sit up and take notice. And unfortunately, you know, they're in the West and they're only going to come into the stadium just once for three games. But Yankee fans made them remember, and I'm sure they'll be expecting more of it today.
You know, it's pretty unreal. I did a top five, Michael, early in the pandemic of the best New York rivalries against teams that are not in your division, like Giants, 49ers, for example. Yankees-Astros is going to be up there, right? I mean, for a team that's barely been in the American League, right? I mean, how long have they even been in the American League? I don't even think it's been 10 years. But when you consider the big playoff games they've played, what happened last night with the cheating, I mean, I would think that a Yankee fan hates this team more than any other team outside of Boston and Tampa, and maybe ahead of Tampa based on what's happened recently. And that's saying something when two teams that do not share the same real estate as far as being in the same division make only one trip to each other's buildings a year, can have that much hatred and that much of a rivalry to it.
Now, here's Aaron Boone after the game on the rowdy crowd.
It was intense. It was. I mean, you could feel it when you walked out there, when I walked out, 15 minutes before the game, it got your attention, certainly.
It had to. It was that sort of deal. Giancarlo Stanton talked about the intensity of the game.
That was intense. You know, I wouldn't want to be on the other side of that. So, yeah, they brought something heavy.
All right, here's Dusty Baker, the manager of the Astros, on the atmosphere at the stadium last night.
I mean, you know, nothing surprised me. You know, at least there wasn't any violence. I mean, you know, they can say whatever they want. And, it sounded like a packed house tonight, even though it wasn't. And, we kind of accepted. I mean, we kind of expected that, reception. And so we'll probably get more of the same tomorrow and the next day.
He's right. And I think he articulated it beautifully. It did sound like it was 50,000 people. I don't know how they did that. I don't know how they pulled it off. They must have, when Jeff Passan said any Yankee fan that doesn't have a sore throat when they leave, they didn't do their job. They did their job. I think everybody did. I mean, it got profane at times. Well, and, there are kids in the stands. But, again, I'm not raising these people's kids. They have the kids there. But, I mean, I wouldn't want my kids to hear that and then have to explain what they're saying. But I don't think that was the concern of the fans that were chanting that stuff. They were trying to get into the heads of the Astros and make them say, hey, we know you cheated, and this is what you get for it.
And that, I guess if there's a beauty to having only 20% in the building, is that you know those are diehards. Those are fans that get it. I mean, a lot of the problems sometimes we have here at the Garden, certainly with the Knicks and Rangers, sometimes at Citi Field and Yankee Stadium, is not everybody that's there is completely engaged, right? That if you have 50,000 in the ballpark last night, yeah, you'd have diehard Yankee fans, and you'd get some that are just going to a ball game, that just or want to be seen or just don't get the whole thing. Michael, if you're going through the effort during a pandemic, getting tested, having to get vaccinated for the specific reason of going to a baseball game for some of these people, you're going there because you're a diehard fan. If you're a diehard fan, you get it. You know what's going on there. So those slightly less than 11,000 people were all on the same page, all diehard fans, all got it.
Now,
nobody's schmoozing clients. Nobody's just there to be seen. They were diehard Yankee fans.
There's going to be more fans here in the middle of May because Governor Cuomo announced today that both Yankee Stadium and Citi Field will be allowed to have packed sections of vaccinated people. They have to wear masks, but they don't have to socially distance, and they're not going to limit the capacity of the stadium. And there's still people that can come in that aren't vaccinated, but they will have to be socially distanced and continue to wear a mask.
I know I shouldn't complain about this because the only thing, you know, I want is for people to be smart and safe. But I know you relate to this, Michael. I do get frustrated with these yo-yo bumchuck made-up things like that.
What do you mean?
We're going to pack people in as long as they're vaccinated outside with masks. Outside with masks isn't a thing. That's like not a CDC thing even. Like at first, people like me were yelling out my window complaining. It was 2 weeks in. We didn't know. I stand by screaming out my window. It's now been a year and change. We know that outside is not really a thing. And you're saying these people will all be vaccinated. I appreciate that everyone's trying to like stick with things. And we should, because by the way, I don't think we're out of the woods yet. But these it just doesn't make sense to me. It just seems stupid.
Well, Fauci said yesterday on CNN that we're in the bottom of the sixth inning if it was a baseball game. So there's still a third of the way to go. The interesting part is both the Yankees and the Mets are encouraging people to get vaccinated by giving away Yankee tickets.
That's good.
You can come to the ballpark, get vaccinated, and root for the Yankees. I'm just wondering, there are some really fanatical fans out there, guys. What happens if you get vaccinated multiple times?
That's a great question. I don't think you can, but would they know? They probably wouldn't. I can't imagine it's a good idea.
No, I wouldn't think it's a great idea, but you know, you do have to consider all things now.
They could maybe use it when people need their booster shots, which is going to be a thing.
Yeah, and that could be right toward the end of the season.
Right.
ESPN, Marley Rivera reporting, Rougned Odor's MRI on his left knee did not show significant structural damage. Sources close to the player tell ESPN. Nonetheless, Odor will likely still have to spend time on the injured list. Odor had a home plate collision with Astros catcher Martin Maldonado, who was diagnosed with a trapezius strain and is listed as day-to-day. What did you think? Separated shoulder?
I thought separated shoulder, but by the way, yeah, Don looks fantastic. Just a terrific jacket.
You just saw him now for the first time.
Just kicked in. Now, Don, I think you got to get the jacket taken in a bit, though.
What do you mean?
It's too big. Well, like, try buttoning it. If you try buttoning it, you're going to button it way too easy. Don, Michael, you don't think so? Michael, I like your jacket, too, by the way.
It's also an LV jacket.
I am buttoned.
Oh, you're buttoned? Yeah, that's entirely too big.
No, it's okay.
Now, also, are people...
I appreciate it.
Are people, I know I'm not going to sit here and have a party for Rougned Odor, but when everyone crushes the Yankees for every move they make, I mean, so far, I would say things are going pretty well with the Odor move.
And the Kluber move and the Tyone move. So again, listen, we don't want to be the scolds here.
Oh, I love being a scold.
But I don't see the wisdom in giving up on things after 10 games in baseball, even after 20 games. I'm sorry, I just don't. It's not the way the sport is built. So everybody's starting to turn it around just a little bit. 1-800-919-3776. Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Mets playing a doubleheader tonight. Yankees a single game with the Astros. All right, let's take some phone calls. Let's go to Jason in West New York. Jason, start it off.
What's going on, Michael? How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm great. I'm hoarse because I was at that game yesterday, and I must say that was one of the top five greatest games I've ever been to in my life. I mean, I was at the London game a couple years ago. I went to Ohio State. I've been to lots of great games there, but that experience with limited capacity, filling a full stadium, was honestly one of the best games I've been to in my life.
Wow. Yeah, it had a great vibe, Jason, I'll tell you that.
I mean, yeah, just I mean, the chance you're doing towards Altuve, I was just in my element. I was so happy to be there, and that was just an amazing experience. But there's one other thing I need to see.
Yeah.
Okay.
The one thing I wanted to say was, so my grandma and I a few years ago went to a Yankee game, and we ran into Susan Waldman, and she said she was going to give you this article that my grandma asked her about you know, pitchers being overworked, and that's why there's more injuries because of the new way they're throwing the ball, because my grandma likes old-school baseball. And she was mad you never mentioned the article, so to this day she has a gripe with you.
Oh, Grandma, I'm sorry. I think Susan did give me the article. I didn't know that you wanted me to mention it on the show, but I did get it, and I read it, and I digested it, and I moved forward with it in my life. So I'm sorry, Grandma. I really am. Let's go to John in Queens. Who's a bigger friend to the elderly than me, Peter? And now the elderly's turning on me.
That's when you lose the elderly, you're in bad shape.
It's like Cronkite. You lose Cronkite, you lose Middle America. Let's go to John in Queens. John.
Hey, Mike, how you doing? Don, Peter, love
What's
the
going
show.
On? Thank you.
Watch you guys every day.
Thanks, man.
Mike, what I wanted to just say about that whole Houston thing with the cheating, and listen, we one of the most disappointing things to me about that whole perspective is that these guys we know were cheating for I don't know how many years. They've admitted it. You were right, Mike, when you said yesterday at the game that they weren't penalized at all, none of them. But what's mostly disappointing to me is that not one ball player on that team, knowing that they were cheating, had the decency or the guts to come out and say, hey, I'm not playing this game like this. That guy would have been looked at as a hero. I don't think it would have destroyed his career. But they all played knowing that they were cheating. And that's what's disheartening. That's what's disappointing, that not one ball player had the decency to admit that they were cheating and just come out and say, hey, what are we doing here?
Well, first of all, Mike Fiers did, and he was vilified for it as a turncoat. So you can't say that not one ball player did. He did in 2019. That started the investigation when he said that to The Athletic. And you know why they didn't say anything? Because it worked.
Well, there's also another thing.
I also think they think that everybody's doing something.
Well, see, I look at it this way, because even with the Wilson stuff in the NHL, Michael, you're not hearing a lot of current players, even current Rangers, taking Wilson to task the way the media and former players have. Why? Because one day he might be your teammate, right? I mean, that's the thing, is there's all that fraternity. They're all in the same union. So the guy that bashes Altuve or bashes Bregman or bashes Correa, one day you might be playing on the Astros.
Well, I mean, the Yankees bashed them, though. The Yankees bashed them. Why did an Astro step forward?
Right, well, because I think that there's that code among teammates. But I think, listen, the Yankees and the Dodgers, I think, were the two teams that were most affected by this because of losing to them in the postseason in 2017, right? But I don't think the Yankees have been over the top with the criticism the way the fans have. Because remember, one day these guys might be on your team. I mean, it might seem crazy, but you never know. What if one day Altuve's a Yankee? You know, or a Yankee might be an Astro and Altuve's your teammate. You saw what happened with Roger Clemens, right? One minute you're the villain, the next minute he's on your team and you're defending him.
I think that's happening for Altuve.
In the back of the mind of a lot of players is, hey, first of all, I don't even know what's going on in my own backyard as far as the cheating's concerned. Plus, I don't want to say something and now I'm going to have to address when we end up being teammates one day.
But I think a lot of players have ripped them. Trevor Bauer ripped them. The Yankees have ripped them. Aaron Judge said, I mean – He said that how to even take the chance. I thought they were very harsh about it. I really do. I don't think they think that any of these guys are going to be teammates of theirs, and if they are, then they are. I mean, Gerrit Cole was on the 2019 Astros, and I tell you for a fact, the Yankees think the Astros cheated. They think right. There was a buzzer involved, so Gerrit Cole's on the team.
But
you deal with
I
it when you deal
pitchers,
with it.
The pitchers are probably exempt from it, right? I mean, I know they benefited from it, but I think it's believable that maybe they weren't in on it or could do anything about it. But
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's you know, I understand what you're saying.
1-800-919-3776 is the number. We'll continue to take phone calls. We've got Mark Messier at 4 o'clock. I can't wait to talk to him about what's going on with the Rangers and what he would do or team he was on
also
with Tom Wilson.
Don, did you see me engaging at all with DC sports media?
I did not, no.
I was fighting with some names in DC sports media. You guys, DC sees this the complete other way. It's
not surprised.
They're posting videos of Sid Crosby saying, "Oh, I suppose this should be a reason to ban a player." It's wild.
Well, I mean, it comes down to this: people in Houston don't think the Astros did anything wrong. So,
I know we can get more into it. We're gonna have Messier on to talk about it. Listen. I was very clear about the fact I don't think what Tom Wilson did was outside the realm of hockey. It happens all the time. What frustrates me is the fact that when people don't see it, they're misunderstanding two things. One, reputation and history matters. And two, the fact that a player was actually injured also matters. It's not only intent. What is the result?
Now let's take a brief time out. Towel off. We got a lot of stuff to do. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
So the Yankees won their fourth straight game yesterday, and that's their longest win streak of the year. They are over 500 for the first time since 3-2, so after five games, and keeping pace with the Red Sox, who... had a shootout with the Tigers yesterday, but ended up winning the game. So the Yankees, I think, are 2.5 games out, and still so very early. But the division has not run away from the Yankees after their struggling start. So let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Chris in Manhattan. Chris.
Hey, how are you, Mike?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, man. First, if you hear me chewing, it's me eating crow for my comments about Giancarlo Stanton last week.
But you know what's funny, Chris, is if you didn't like Giancarlo Stanton last week, why should this hot streak change your mind?
I'm not saying I didn't like him. Remember, what I said was he doesn't play with enough passion. That was my comment.
And I said that when somebody's not hitting, it doesn't look as if they have passion. Now that he's hitting .477 during a 10-game hitting streak, now he has passion. Listen, I'm just spitting facts here. Your lives would be so much, much better and more enjoyable if you just follow my lead.
Oh, my God.
Really?
He's right in this case, though. He is right.
I am here to help. He doesn't play with enough passion. You know how silly that was when he said it? They don't play with enough passion.
And by the way, his passion hasn't changed. Nothing's changed.
Nothing about his game has changed. He wanted it just as much then.
He hits a home run yesterday in a critical spot against the Astros. It's not like he was pounding his chest. He's a business guy.
Yeah, he is definitely all business. And the only thing that you should really dislike about Giancarlo Stanton is the way he hits a Kit Kat.
It's bizarre.
So you like to snap off a piece of the Kit Kat?
Well, it's in the ad.
I understand, but you could bite into it. It's still the same.
I mean, you could do it. Listen, you can do it. It physically can happen. I just think that it's not the purpose. It serves a purpose of break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar.
Well,
don't
that's
bite
if you're sharing
like
it.
Every other bar.
That's if you're sharing it. So he's not sharing it. He's eating the Kit Kat bar. He has every right to eat it the way he wants.
No, it's weird.
No, nobody is denying Peter his right.
Yeah, that's.
I just don't agree with it.
It's but no, you have to own that it's bizarre, Michael.
I mean, it was bizarre. It was on a broadcast. It was on a Yankee broadcast.
I don't know if it's bizarre. It's just a different way. You know, it runs contrary to the song.
But it's not just that. It's contrary to all human beings eat Kit Kats.
I think I've taken a bite of a Kit Kat like that.
No chance. No chance.
No, you never did.
No.
You'd remember.
Well, first of all, they're now big Kit Kats. That's the only way to eat them is like he eats them. They're not like four. There's one big square or one big rectangle. Come on. Give the guy a break. And look, he's got about 1.5% body fat. He can do what he wants. He can inject the Kit Kat into his vein if he wants.
Yeah, I guess when you're only allowed one Kit Kat like a year, you probably don't have the patience to break it off in that
fashion.
You
don't have time to break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar.
You're just shoveling it in because you want to really – I think he should try to savor it because it's good. But, listen, if you only get one a decade –
I think he has one cheat day every 3 years. So, I mean, that's how you look like that. Pete has one every year, every week, right? A cheat day?
Usually unfortunately, Sunday? I have a cheat weekend. It's probably not helping me out.
Daniel in Union. Fine. Daniel.
Hey, guys. What's up?
How you doing?
Good. So, Michael, I gotta pick a bone with you.
You have a you bone say, to pick with me. You don't want to pick a bone with me.
You're not having a bone-picking party.
But go ahead.
That was rookie. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
You're being a little hypocritical because when Stanton looks like he's lost at the plate, you say to Yankees fans, oh, don't worry. Let's give him some time. He has one good week, and you act like the Stanton haters, yours included, have to bow down to him. Here's what I think should happen. Stanton, I hope to God Stanton plays out of his mind so we can convince an idiot GM to take this guy. That is what I'm hoping for, and we can actually get somebody who can play the outfield and not just be a permanent DH.
Okay, that's a fair thought, but in answer to the, you know, the bone-to-pick part of it, if Stanton had never hit before, then you'd have a point. But the only thing that Stanton's done wrong with the Yankees is his inability to stay on the field. You know, the first year, when Judge was hurt, he had 38 home runs and 100 ribbies. Last year in the playoffs, he carried the team.
First of all, if you just look at Mike Stanton, Giancarlo Stanton's body of work on the Yankees, absolute dud. And if you go to 2018...
Not true. No.
That's not true.
Wait a minute, Daniel. Only dud when he's hurt. When he's playing healthy, he's not a dud.
2018 was not good enough for what we're paying him. It's nothing.
You're paying him $24 million a year. That's what you're paying. Everybody's making out that you're paying him like $35 million.
He can't play the outfield. That's not good enough.
Hey, listen, that's an issue. Would you like J.D. Martinez? He doesn't play the outfield that much.
I would trade him away for anybody. That's just silly.
But why, Daniel, why the hatred? Because when he's healthy, he produces. Yeah, I understand the lack of outfield play. I think that's the Yankees being more careful than him not wanting to. But when the guy is healthy, all he's done is produce.
Well,
38 and 100 is not enough because you somehow have artificially put numbers in your head that he's supposed to hit. 38 and 100 carried that team, by the way, to 103 wins. That's not enough.
But
I don't know what to tell you.
But you can find a happy medium here. There have been things that Yankee fans could be disappointed with, all right? I am not going to agree with that caller that he's a bum, it's the worst contract in the history of the Yankees, and blah, 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 all the stuff that you hear. I mean, he has been collectively a disappointment for what you thought he was going to be, and the injuries are a part of it.
No, they're all of it.
Right, and also the fact is that many people attach, and rightly so, the Yankees' conservative ways financially based on the contract
that
they brought
in. And you're right, is that his fault?
No, it's not his fault. But, Mike, again, you're asking fans to be logical. He represents the reason why the Yankees can't maybe spend a little bit more money. That maybe they're conservative as far as not approaching the luxury tax because of that contract. So that's a negative. And he's been hurt, and that's a negative. I'm not defending booing him. I'm not saying that you should get rid of him because we saw last night how he can turn a game around. And if this guy gets hot and stays healthy, there's not going to be an ounce of regret from anybody. But it hasn't been smooth sailing either. But I think somewhere in the middle lies, you know, the true answer to how the reaction should be to Stanton. It's not overwhelmingly positive, and it's certainly not overwhelmingly negative.
Well, all I would say, I mean, I don't have to sit here and defend him, and I think the fact that he doesn't play the outfield does hurt the organization because you can't rest other guys half a day. But the only time that he is not productive is when he is hurting.
Right.
And even the 38 and 100, he was playing on one leg, and the reason that he played, I think he played over 155 games that year, was because Aaron Judge didn't play. And then he has not played much at all the last couple of years. And then last year, he's finally healthy in the postseason.
Right.
And he went on a historic run. So, hey, this is a guy who had 59 home runs. You don't do that by accident. This guy can play. You just got to keep him healthy. He can play. But there's a lot of people that have preset, notes, and that's okay. Mike in Staten Island. Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I love the show. I love the baseball talk, but I really like how you're talking about how he's eating a Kit Kat bar. You know, it reminds me of when Costanza takes a Snickers bar and eats it with a fork and knife. So it's maybe not that bizarre. I tell you, I take a bite out of a Snickers. I don't always break it off, Don.
No, you take a bite out of a
Kit Kat.
A Kit Kat, yeah. Kit Kat. I'm sorry. It is designed. I get it. It's designed to break it off, but I could see why you would want to just take a bite out of it.
And also, Mike, you know why it's designed to break off? So you could share it. If you are not inclined to share it, why not bite it?
It's just weird.
I agree. Mike, I don't like sharing my food. I got to be honest.
You
it's
know
like
what?
I'm
with you. I am totally with you.
I'm with you.
You know?
I mean, I used to go out on dates with some girls that they wouldn't order what they wanted, and then they'd start to eat what you want. I said, well, you could have eaten anything you wanted. What do you have to eat my food for?
I was just going to say that. You're absolutely right. I'll give you anything you want. Just tell me you want it. Why do you have to start biting into mine, you know?
Exactly. Exactly, Mike. We're on the same wavelength. I love you, man. You and I are the same.
Love it.
I love you. That's nice. But you've had that experience. You go out on a date and they're picking at your food. What are you doing? I'm not picking at your food.
Yeah, and a lot of times that happens, Michael, where they order the salad, but then they pick at your meal because they're telling themselves they're dieting. They didn't order anything. But meanwhile, they ate half your steak.
What's wrong?
Order a steak.
Order whatever you want.
Home.
Anything on the menu you could have. Have three of them. Just don't touch my food. That's all I'm saying. I don't think that's asking much.
Right. And if everything works out, then you can work the calories off later.
Yeah.
Ooh. Hello.
Wow.
He's talking sex.
Sex? I think Don's going to have a crisis today. I really do, Peter. And see if you follow me. He's very loyal to Nancy. Very loyal.
Okay. All right.
But the way he looks tonight, people at the Garden are going to hit on him. And he's going to have to choose, what do I do? Do I go across the street to the Hotel Penn? And do I, I take this, take this
you
to
really
the
next level?
I like a lot of guys.
Peter, you really think that's a dilemma? First of all, I don't think any of the, because the only people that I will see tonight are female reporters, right?
Well, I mean, how about when you walk out of the Garden?
In the slimmest of chances, Peter, that I'm approached on my way to the parking garage by a very attractive woman that says, you just look scrumptious.
Right. Yummy.
Let's get a room.
Right.
And I look at her, and she's spectacular looking as well.
Right.
Peter, what are the odds that I cave and cheat on Nancy?
I would score that at zero.
Right. And so the mere suggestion of it by Michael is, where would you categorize it? Offensive? Disrespectful?
No, I said you were going to have a crisis of a decision-making process.
No, there's
That's
no
all.
Crisis. Peter, is there a crisis? Am I going to go back to the parking garage and have an ounce of regret that I said no in this fantasy world of it happening?
Is there a woman in movies that you just find unbelievable?
Why are you playing this game with him?
Peter, pipe down. Is there a woman that you really find unbelievable in the movies?
Kate
Other than Peppa Pig, because I know you watch her the most.
That's, there's such a violation of so many different things by suggesting that. Kate Beckinsale.
Okay, so Kate's outside. She went to the Ranger game for some reason. She's no longer with Machine Gun Kelly, okay?
Well, that's awesome.
She comes after you.
Okay.
What do you do?
Thanks, but no thanks.
Easy.
I'll tell you one thing, Peter.
I mean, I'll skip to the parking garage after I say no.
When he left the house looking like this today, Nancy was a little nervous. Let's just leave it at that.
Do you think he looks that good, huh?
He looks that good. I don't know if he's ever looked better in the 20 years I've worked with him.
Well, remember, he's the thinnest he's ever been since you've known him.
Right.
That's good true. For me.
Yeah,
so that's the starting point.
And everybody else.
When I met Michael, Peter, I was I was a mess.
Bulbous.
I think bulbous is the person, word you're looking not for. Not one person took me aside and said, what are you doing?
I've always said that. Friends are not real friends, because you would think George Foster's friends would have said, listen, the sideburns look ridiculous. Nobody did.
Ridiculous.
No, here's what I want. Yes, I'm not trying to tell anyone how to do their job, but guys, here's what I would love if it's possible. Take a screenshot of Don right now, right? Mm-hmm. Put it in one box, and let's put that up to what he looked like around the time the show was getting started, around 03, 04.
Scary, bro.
You got to see him. He's doing better with age. It's unreal.
Find any picture during the Bonnie situation.
Get me help.
Oh, it was the whole Bonnie era?
I was obese. I was disgusted with myself in the station. That's the polar opposite of the way I feel right now.
But
about
about
myself.
He drew some beautiful doodles during that time.
I heard some great drawing.
I drew a picture, Peter, of Norv Turner that you would think was a photograph. You would have thought
that's a photograph. That's a terrifying thought.
Sketched during the show.
Wait, so
that's
was
the kind of free time I had.
Was your goal in sketching that because you were repulsive at the time and you thought, can I find a picture of the only person in sports uglier than me?
That's not nice.
I'm sorry. I'd like to take that back.
It wasn't any decisions he made that made him look that way. This is how God presented.
Can we please take a time out here?
Let's do that.
We'll take a brief time out.
Might be listening.
We'll shower off, towel off, the whole deal. Talk more about Kit Kats and the Yankees game last night against the Astros. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Well, the show takes a serious turn. Just revealed in different reports that the Rangers have fired John Davidson, the president of the team, and the GM of the team, Jeff Gordon. Now, Frank Saravelli reports that sources say that Rangers president John Davidson and GM Jeff Gordon scurried to distance themselves from the team statement that was issued on Tuesday night, telling other executives that they did not know it was in the works until after it was released. So if what Saravelli says is true, then this is an indication, according to reports, that it was above them, the people that made up that statement or made that statement out, and that Davidson and Gordon, being longtime hockey men, did not want to be connected to a statement that's calling for a guy's job. And then it makes you wonder, is this something that Jim Dolan wanted done?
Ruh-ruh.
And then when these guys rebelled against it, he just fired them. Now, you've just had 4 years of redoing this team after sending out a letter to a team to the fans, and everything has been done in a very meticulous way, according to a plan, and now you just bang the two guys at the beginning of the plan? Wow. So, according to Larry Brooks, Chris Drury is going to assume a lot of the responsibilities. He was an assistant GM to Gordon, but this is an absolute shocker right now by the Rangers and wow, it's one of the biggest sports stories of the year.
I'm at a complete loss. I mean, just even Larry, who is as connected as anybody in the sport, right, starts to tweet off with shocker, and that's not sarcasm. Just like they were all in on Davidson, they were all in on Gordon. I mean, this was the plan, right? This was the letter from a few years ago, and they were moving the court. Nothing that's happened here on the ice would be a reason why this would take place. And everybody was perfectly happy with the direction the organization was going. So for this to happen, Michael, you can only then assume it's from the statement, right?
Yes.
And I'll try to learn what I can here. I mean, I'm at the Garden right now. I mean, nobody's here of any significance yet, but, you know, I'll try to find out what I can. But I'm just floored by this, Michael. They're all in on John Davidson. He was all in on the job. And, you know, this is a team that was all just moving in the direction. Now, Chris Drury is going to do a great job. He's been groomed for this position for a while now. But this is not what you'd expect to have happen 3 days left in the regular season going into a very, very meaningful offseason with this team is just about ready. It looks to turn the corner. And now we're looking for a new president and general manager. Drury would be that general manager, but looking for a new president, this is crazy.
And where does this leave David Quinn? You know, how is he? Because he was the hire of Gordon. So is David Quinn in trouble?
Well, I mean, it really just depends now how Chris feels. Now, Chris was part of the regime under Gordon, right, that hired David Quinn. But I guess we'll find out who else is brought in here. And, Michael, at this point, everything's in a state of flux, right? I mean, they just kind of blew it up. I mean, this is This is pretty just shocking stuff. It's
interesting
crazy.
How much a perspective can change, because we read the statement, and I think all of us sort of reacting from the fan standpoint were like, wow, look at this. They're going hardcore. We were impressed. But well, now it makes you think that the reason it felt like such a fan statement is because that's what it was. It
right.
wasn't one that was actually organized and decided upon by the people who should make those decisions.
Because if you're going to host somebody of that level in the NHL hierarchy, it's going to come back and bite you. And I think Davidson realized that, and Gordon realized it, and they were trying to distance themselves from it. And the reason that we reveled in that statement, as Peter said, and smartly said, it didn't reek of a professional statement because no one had ever seen a team statement like that. Now, people have probably said that within the confines of executive offices that run teams. This guy should be fired. They've never put it out in the statement. So who did that? Now, who has the right to put out that statement other than the owner of the team?
And this also explains now there was a lot of speculation that there was something strange about David Quinn's 11:30 presser being postponed. Now, that does happen sometimes, and it gets pushed to 5:30 or whatever. And we thought it had something to do with Wilson. Maybe they were calling somebody up and just wanted to get their ducks in a row, whatever. This probably explains why that press conference was delayed. I'm assuming something's going to happen within the next few hours. But, Michael, it's not a resignation. It's a firing. Like, so if Gordon and JD had a problem with the release, then you would think that they would, like, resign.
No, why should they resign? They'll get paid if they get fired.
Right, but how do you get there is the point.
Well, they probably distanced themselves, and that ticked off, I would say. Again, this is – we're just trying to connect the
it's
dots.
It's just speculation,
it probably ticked off Dolan. And Dolan said, don't be knocking a statement that I put out. And they said, well, what you did was wrong. And they probably stood up to him, and he fired them.
Well, you know, it's what's fascinating about all this is that you're right. That was a scathing release. You don't see organizations.
No one had ever seen that
right.
kind of
and,
statement.
And so it's definitely the type of statement, if you're not completely on board with it, that there's going to be an issue, right? There's no half pregnant with that kind of a statement. You're either all in or you're out, right? So if somebody didn't like it, then you can understand things coming to a head because, hey, listen, it's putting my concern about the statement, other than the fact that I was fascinated by it and I thought it was scathing and deservedly so, because I thought it was wrong that there wasn't any kind of suspension for Wilson, is that it puts a lot of onus on the players, right? I mean, when you own something that negative, well, now the players have to go on the ice and they've got to represent how the organization feels about something, right?
Yep.
You can't skate around and ignore Tom Wilson and just go about your business when your organization sends out a release wanting George Parros to be out. Right? So I can really see a hockey person saying, well, wait, you really put a target on our back. You're really putting a lot of responsibility on the youngest team in the National Hockey League to go out on the ice and now have to back up that kind of a statement. So I can understand a hockey guy maybe saying, I don't know if my team's ready to have to support that kind of feeling.
It's a shocker. I mean, Larry Brooks put it best of the New York Post. It is an absolute shocker. We're kind of stunned. We found out about it when we were in the middle of a commercial, and I think all of us are, in a word, flabbergasted, because it just doesn't. And John Davidson is so widely respected and was so romanced by Dolan to take over for Sather, and Jeff Gorton has great respect around the league as well, and they both just unceremoniously fired.
Well, Michael, this is something John Davidson has wanted basically the second he made a decision to leave the broadcast booth to get into the business as a manager, a GM, and a president. He left to go to St. Louis, left to go to Columbus, with the designs of eventually ending up here as a guy that could run the team that he loved and the team that he played for. So it's got to be killing him right now that this has happened.
And
crazy.
If you somehow missed it, the real part of the statement, all of it's very aggressive, but this part at the end, Wilson's dangerous and reckless actions caused an injury to Artemi Panarin that will prevent him from playing again this season. We view this as a dereliction of duty by NHL head of player safety George Parros and believe he is unfit to continue in his current role.
You know what this comes down to? That is worded as if one of our listeners went off on a phone call and it was dictated. That's what a fan would say. Or if Don goes into a rant, but Don's not. Don's not an executive of a team. So I could see where Davidson didn't want any part of having any ownership of that. And the owner owns it now. Because I'm sorry, who else are we supposed to blame here? Who else would fire him other than Jim Dolan? Jim Dolan is the only one above John Davidson in the structure of the New York Rangers. So it had to be Dolan who fired him, and then had to be Dolan who fired Gorton. In the middle of a rebuild that everybody expected next year would finally bear fruit. All right, get to the phones, everybody. 1-800-919-3776. Don's at the Garden right now. We'll try to find out more, whatever we can. But this is a shocker. If you just turn on the radio, the Rangers have reportedly fired John Davidson, their president, Jeff Gorton, their GM. Chris Drury will assume many of the duties of Gorton. They will not have a president right now. I'm sure information will become available as we remain on the air until 6:30. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, so if you just joined us, the Rangers have fired John Davidson and Jeff Gorton, the president and the GM, respectively. At first blush, it seemed like it had something to do with the letter that was sent out, the statement by the Rangers yesterday. Now, Don, tell me the level of respect Darren Drieger has.
Oh, yeah, you know, Darren Drieger is, he's
okay.
He's Woj-esque in Canada.
All right, so he tweets out, "I'm told the firing of Gorton and Davidson by the New York Rangers is coincidental and not related to the statement issued yesterday related to Tom Wilson. Another source says ownership felt the Rangers underachieved this season." Now, Larry Brooks has a story that's out in the Post right now, and toward the end it said, "A divergence of philosophies emerged between Dolan and the Davidson-Gorton ticket, with sources indicating that the CEO believes that it's time to take the next step in this process, while the front office people have continued to preach patience and a longer-view panoramic take of situation. As well, it is believed that the hockey hierarchy's collection of skill players at the expense of will players did not sit well with Dolan. The recent mismatches against the Islanders highlighted the team's deficiencies in grit and leadership, and may have accelerated, if not prompted, this stunning decision."
Well, the word sniffing around here, Michael, the word that I got echoes that Jim just wanted to make a change. So the feeling just seems to be that it is just coincidental. Now, why David Quinn survives, why Chris Drury survives, that's, you know, obviously up to Jim Dolan. I mean, obviously somebody has to kind of run things here the last three games of the season. So I don't know if things will be reassessed going forward, but just taking that information, that's pretty startling, considering that it seemed like the direction of the team was pretty solid, that it was a young team, youngest team in the National Hockey League. They were going to have growing pains. They've certainly had injuries. I mean, if you're going to talk about, well, look how they played against the Islanders, no Jacob Trouba, no Chris Kreider. So there's, like, reasons for it. I understand the disappointment of losing games and being eliminated in the final week of the season, but it's not like there wasn't some reason for that. The Islanders are a team that's competing for a Stanley Cup, and the Rangers are in the midst of a rebuild. So, but, you know, things have not gone well. Like I said, three straight losses, just three goals in the last three games. Things have not been great, but there's still a lot of growing pains the team's going through, and now what? You're starting over by bringing in a new president. You've got a general manager now, Chris Drury, who's paid his dues. You know, he's been down in Hartford. He's been an assistant general manager here under Gorton for a few years, but he's now he's a general manager in the National Hockey League for the first time. So there's There's a lot up in the air right now for a team that looked like they were ready and steady and taking the course, and now they have veered. They've veered off course here, and we'll see who's the guys that's going to be in charge of bringing them back.
Well, it's a shocker. For sure it is. So if he was unhappy with the direction of the team, do they blow up this carefully orchestrated rebuild? And it's stunning that he did this to Davidson, who he romanced to take this job. So I've said this to people. I've said this on the show a lot. When people said, well, the Knicks have struggled because of Dolan. And I said, Dolan doesn't even have an involvement in basketball. He doesn't. He really feels he knows hockey. He has an involvement in hockey. So this was not like a publicity shot. This was, I don't like the way they're doing it. My vision of the team is not this. He believes he's more of a hockey aficionado than he's ever thought he was a basketball aficionado. That's why he always stayed with a guy like Isaiah Thomas. Because Isaiah Thomas could sell him on all the things basketball, but Dolan believes he knows hockey.
Yeah, and it's just odd to me, Michael. Like I said, we got a lot of fans who've been disappointed in this season. We have a lot of fans that are getting on David Quinn. I never heard anybody complain about John Davidson or Jeff Gorton, the job they've done, especially since, you know, Kaapo Kakko's played better as the season's gone on. Lafreniere was the clear-cut number one pick. He's been great so far. Adam Fox having a breakout season. That was a deal that was made by this administration. Lingering the same thing. There's been a lot of good, and it's been a bad 3 days, three games. And I was told, and I've assumed as a hockey guy being around this team, that they were all in on the direction of the franchise. But if three games can have you completely pull the plug, then I'm left to believe that maybe they weren't, or at least that Jim Dolan wasn't. Maybe he had the same expectations the fans did, that this was going to be a year they were going to be in the playoffs.
Well,
that they were going to make a run.
Elliot Friedman just tweets out, Chris Drury will be president and GM of the New York Rangers.
Both. That's
yeah.
Now listen, I am a. There's no bigger fan of Chris Drury.
The Pittsburgh job, right?
Yeah, he's ready. He is ready to be a general manager in this league, Michael. This is not some kid that it was a great player in the NHL and has now been gifted. He worked his tail off to get where he is. All right, traveling with the team, he's been ready for this moment. But it's a big moment, right? Because now you're the general manager and a president of a team that obviously made changes because they weren't happy with the direction, and if not happy with the direction because they expect bigger and better things, that's a lot of pressure on him, right? To go into this offseason and say, all right, go get the players, make the necessary moves to make us a competitor and a champion, you know, right away. And God, why now? Like, you couldn't – could you have waited till the offseason? Could you have done this on Baggy Day? You know, for the last home game, you know, a game that's going to be broadcast tonight on national television. There's going to be a lot of eyeballs on this game just because of what happened with Wilson on Monday. There's going to be a lot of attention on this tonight. So, wow, this is just very seldom, Michael, am I floored by news, especially in this day and age. Usually you hear rumblings, right? Usually you hear a little bit of a rumbling before the earthquake happens. This did not see this coming at all.
All right, let's see what you're thinking. A lot of Ranger fans probably stunned, as we are. Kenny in New Jersey. Kenny.
Hey, how you fellas doing today, man? Yes, I'm shocked. How y'all doing?
Doing well. How about you, Ken?
Man, I'm shocked, man. I'm shocked, Mike. But this move, Mike, has Dolan's name written all over it. I don't think that's no question. But the question really should be is, was this the right move? A lot of people are going to say it wasn't, but I'm not sure it wasn't the right move. At this point, I think we put a lot into our goaltending, and our goaltending really let us down this year. We thought this guy was going to be a superstar. I can't pronounce his name, Shesterkin, whatever.
Shesterkin, yes. He has been a bit of a disappointment lately, sure.
A huge disappointment. And, I mean, besides the goaltending, if you know, I watched a good amount of games. Besides the goaltending, we didn't play bad. We didn't play lackluster. I mean, we tried every game, even when we were getting blown out. So I don't know. Maybe that wasn't such a bad move. You know, I mean, the coach did a horrible job. It was the goaltending.
Well, listen, I think the goaltending has not been what you would think it would be. But, again, I'm going to sound like an apologist for the for the regime that just got knocked out. But, Michael, see if you follow me here, all right? You come into a season with the first overall pick in Lafreniere, barely gets a training camp, no preseason games. It's a truncated schedule. Oh, by the way, if the Rangers are in any other division in the NHL, any of the other three, they're a playoff team. You know, so I would just wonder, why do you think it's so bad? Do you really think this team is veered off course? Yeah, the people thought they'd be a playoff team. But, Michael, they're the youngest team in the NHL, the youngest. And these are the growing pains you're going to go through. Oh, by the way, in the middle of all this season, Panarin had to take a leave of absence for something I've never heard of before, right? Because of a political situation. You had one of your superstars, Mika Zibanejad, recovering from COVID at the beginning of the season. Jacob Trouba's missed a dozen games. Hedl's missed over a dozen games. You know, and yet they haven't embarrassed themselves. They weren't eliminated until the final week of the season. You're not the Buffalo Sabres. You're not the Detroit Red Wings. You want to look at embarrassing, look at how the Devils have played this year, losing 10 games in a row. So I think there's still a lot of good here. I don't think that we're painting the season out to be a disaster, Michael. I think it's far from it.
The thing that doesn't make sense, why do it today? Especially you've got your replacement in-house, so it's not like somebody else was going to take Drury away. All you have to do is whisper in Drury's ear. And it would be much cleaner and less offensive because the game, as you mentioned, is on NBCSN tonight. So the whole world is going to see this. And maybe he wants that. Maybe he wants to show them, I don't like the way this was going.
The only other thing you can think of, Michael, when something like this happens is that maybe Jim Dolan didn't think he'd be able to contain it till the end of the season. Want it to get leaked out. Right, Peter? That it's like, listen, it's bubbling over. I don't want this to get leaked out. I don't want this to – I want, you know, get out in front of it. That would explain the timing of it. Because I'm with you. Why wouldn't you just wait till after the season? It's Saturday. Saturday's the last game.
Is it possible they were going to do it at the end of the year and Dolan now sees the reaction to the statement yesterday or thinks it was now an ill-advised idea and this is just a way to change the conversation?
That's not a bad idea. That's not a bad thought. And maybe this expedited because they were kind of, distancing themselves from that statement. So that set off Dolan and said, okay, I've had it. If you guys are not going to back me on the statement, then you're gone. Let's go to Julia in New Jersey. Julia.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm shocked about everything. I was sitting in my college class, and then my phone starts blowing up that JD and Gorton are out. I mean, you're in the middle of a rebuild. I don't understand why. I mean, they weren't supposed to be a playoff team this year, in my opinion. You have the number one pick. We're the youngest team in the NHL. Why you would change this all now, I have no idea.
Yeah, right. We don't either. Especially if you start to undo or unravel a rebuild, then it's going to take even longer than it was going to. And everything that I've read, Don, and you're watching the games, that next year it was all going to bear fruit. And now you pull the plug right before it's going to bear fruit.
Yeah, and listen, you've just handed the reins to Chris Drury, who was a part of the regime you fired, right? I mean, he was the assistant to Gorton. He had, you know, he was here before John Davidson, but, you know, so, you know, Chris Drury's been a part of these young kids. Remember, he was on the bench when David Quinn had COVID,
mm-hmm.
right? Representing the organization. When the Hartford guys came up here to coach, Chris Drury was on the bench. So he's been very much a part of this rebuild.
Don, what's the relationship between Drury and Messier?
I don't know what the relationship is. Why do you ask?
I'm just wondering, would he bring Messier in to be the head coach?
I don't know. I don't know really any kind of relationship that they would have. But maybe. I guess that's possible. I know Marcus wanted to be a part of this organization as bad as JD did. But my question would be, and we can ask Mark about it, is would he be ready for that? You know, because he's never been a head coach before. He's never even been an assistant head coach before on the NHL level. So you would have a neophyte general manager and president, a iconic but yet inexperienced head coach for a team that is expected to win the Stanley Cup next year. I mean, I think that's a lot of pressure, don't you think? And I think I would be very anxious to talk to Mark. We'll have him coming up at 4:00, and I'd love to see him back in the NHL at some point, but doesn't this seem like it's a lot to ask David Quinn, who's going into his fourth year too, that if this team is ready to pop, then you're going to need experienced people to be around that, right? To guide them to that. So I'd be interested to see who does come in. Does David Quinn stay? And who comes in will it just be Chris and nobody else? If he's the general manager and the president, I guess there's no other position to fill. But would there be somebody with Stanley Cup experience that can come here and help out what, again, is the youngest team in the National Hockey League, and now a general manager and a president doing those positions for the first time? That's a lot to ask.
Let's go to Pete in Brooklyn.
Hey, boys, good afternoon.
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm a lifelong Ranger fan, and, you know, JD's been my guy since, you know, the 79 Stanley Cup, you know, seeing him between the pipes. I don't get this, because first of all, this is the most talented Ranger team that I've seen since 94, and that's including the team that went to the Cup in 2014. Young talent, exciting talent, night in, night out, win, lose, or draw. This Ranger team is exciting. JD assembled this talent with Gorton, and if anybody is to share the blame for underachievement, to me, it's the head coach. I don't think it was a coincidence how well you saw them play when there was that COVID Quinn thing, you know, for a week to 10 days. You know, when they put 9 or 10 on the Flyers, I forgot how many it was. You know, this
nine,
team
yeah.
had jumped. But now, if Drury is the guy, he grew up with Quinn, or they went to college together. They're not going to dump the coach. So now we're stuck with Quinn. I mean, Don, in a perfect world, my GM would be George McPhee, a former Ranger, a proven GM who's taken multiple franchises to the Cup, and the grittiest Ranger we ever had in the 80s and maybe leading.
Oh, and listen, he built the Golden Knights too. He was the first general manager of the Golden Knights. But listen, Knights,
that should be the GM, and Messier would be the perfect president. I mean, now we're not getting that.
But according to the reports, they've already got their president and general manager, right? Michael Chris Drury is – they haven't named him officially, but Elliot Friedman is as tapped in as anybody up there in Canada. So that seems to be the case. And right now, David Quinn is the head coach of the team. He was not fired today. And I think David Quinn, much to the chagrin of a lot of fans, I think he's done a terrific job. I really do. And that's why I'm just so floored by this, because if it's just about the way that – the Islanders, Michael, are a team that's competing for a Stanley Cup. And they lost a couple of games to the Islanders, and you know, and they lost the game Monday to the Washington Capitals, who also could win a Stanley Cup, and it was a 3-3 tie going into the third period. You know, so I'm hard pressed to believe that everything blew up over what's happened over the last three games,
especially
when you're shorthanded.
Oh, okay. So Drury and Quinn are tight. Quinn stays if Dolan wants him to stay. And Drury fires Quinn if Dolan wants him to be fired. That's all there is to it.
I would think so. But here's what I would say. And you're right. Right. Forget about logic or whatever. Jim Dolan's, it's his team. He's going to do what he wants to do. But if you are entrusting Chris Drury, who was a part of the hiring process of David Quinn, who is now the general manager and the president, wouldn't you lean on what he thinks? Right.
Well, he didn't lean on what Davidson and Gorton thought. You know what I mean? So, I mean, he obviously had – I'm not going to say that Drury was whispering in his ear, but
– No, not at all.
Right. So, Drury's an honorable guy from everything that I've heard. So, this was Jim Dolan not liking what he saw. And if you want to read the tea leaves, I think it was either Sunday or Monday, Larry Brooks wrote how the big stars on the Rangers are not totally in sync with David Quinn and how he wants them to play. And that they played better when he was actually out. So for Larry to write that, that means that there's a little trouble in paradise.
Well, but yet, then why wasn't David Quinn a part of this mass firing? And you could say, well, Don, you're going to keep David Quinn because you got three games to coach here. Well, you know, Chris Knobloch's down in Hartford. You can call him up and have him coach the team. It wouldn't be the first time that a coach was fired late in the year. Heck, the Devils one time fired a coach with 8 games left in the regular season, replaced him with Larry Robinson, and won a cup. You know, so I can't imagine him having to coach these last 3 games is a reason why he's still here. He's still here either because of the fact that they really down to the fact that Jim Dolan likes him and wants him to be the head coach here. Otherwise, I would think he'd be gone with J.D. and Gordon. If it is just the reports, Michael, that this is not liking the direction of the team. Now, if it has anything to do with the statement issued, maybe that's a different, you know, kettle of fish here, because I don't think Quinn had anything to do with the statement. But if it's, I don't like the direction this fan base, that this team is going, if David Quinn is still here, I'm left to assume that Jim Dolan wants him to be here.
You would think so. Very quick Yankee note, they put Rougned Odor on the IL, sprained knee, so it's a lot better than people thought it was going to be. Brought up a pitcher, Albert Abreu. And I'm sure that the next move will be in a couple of days. They'll bring up Luke Voit, and then DJ LeMahieu will just move over to second, and Luke Voit will play first. And the decision that we wondered how they were going to do it, well, sometimes these things work out themselves. But the Rangers fire their president, John Davidson, their GM, Jeff Gorton, shocking the hockey world, shocking the sports world. We'll continue to explore other angles on the story. We do have Messier on at 4 o'clock. Remember, he was booked before any of this happened. So if all of a sudden he cancels, you wonder if he's got some involvement, and the next move will be that will be announced. But I'm hoping that he stays with us and you know, honors the 4 o'clock appointment. Knowing Mark, I think he will, but it'll be interesting to see if he's pulled from that. But Mark Messier at 4 o'clock right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael K. Show.
The captain, always will be the captain, Mark Messier. Could Mark Messier coach a hockey team without having coached anywhere else before?
No, 1,000%. Hockey is what I do. Is what I've known my whole life. You either are a hockey person or you're not. Look, there's no one person that's perfect for any job. Whether you're a coach or manager, you need people and support around you to help you in areas that you're deficient in. It's a combination of the people that you support yourself with that fill in the blanks, and you create an ecosystem that's conducive to winning. So hockey's in my DNA. It's what I know. It's what I do best, and would have no problem doing any one of the positions at the NHL level.
The Michael K. Show.
I've been standing by ready to help out in any way for many years.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, so you know, when you do a talk show, a sports talk show, you got to be able to pivot on a dime. So this show was going to be about how the Yankee crowd yesterday at Yankee Stadium showed loud and proud and really had an effect on the game and created the most electric atmosphere, I think, in professional sports in New York since the pandemic began. I mean, there have been some great Knick games, but the impact that the fans had on the Yankees and on the Astros yesterday, undeniable. It felt and it sounded like 50,000 people were in here. So the 10,850 that come in tonight, they're going to want to top last night's group, and I think it's going to be even louder, and we'll see what kind of effect. Now, it's funny, when Bregman hit the home run in the first inning, they lost a little bit of the oomph, but when Stanton hit the two-run home run in the bottom of the first, it reached a crescendo, and it stayed there, so it was amazing. So Jordan Montgomery on the mound tonight against Luis Garcia in game two. The Mets begin a doubleheader against the Cardinals after yesterday was rained out. And the big question that we had yesterday was about Jacob DeGrom. I cannot find it right now on my page, but I know that DeGrom was asked today, Anthony, if you could play that, how he feels in moving forward, what's he thinking?
Feeling good now. The plan is to see the doctor again tomorrow and let him reevaluate. And the plan is to play catch tomorrow if everything goes well.
So there you have it. He had an MRI, which to me is a little bit concerning that you would have an MRI. But they found some inflammation, but they think he's not going to miss a start other than the one that he missed yesterday. So that's good news, not going on the IL. On the IL, Rougned Odor hurt his knee in a collision with Martin Maldonado at home plate as the Yankees scored. I believe that was their seventh run. No, that was their sixth run of the game. So they bring up Albert Abreu, and he'll pitch out of the bullpen and probably hold a spot for when Luke Voit is ready. He's playing in Scranton-Wilkes-Barre right now as he comes back from knee surgery. But all of that, including the Nets losing their second straight game to the Bucks and the Knicks playing again tonight, hoping to continue their hot streak, was completely just wiped away when the Rangers shocked the sports world, particularly the hockey world, by firing The president of the team, John Davidson, and then the GM, Jeff Gorton, very quickly installing Chris Drury as the new GM and president. Looks like David Quinn continues as the head coach. We don't know what the long term on that is, and we're trying to figure out why this happened. The first early reports were, well, it was probably because of the statement that Dolan likely put out, and then there were reports that Davidson and Gorton were distancing themselves from that incendiary statement. And then we find out later it wasn't that Dolan just didn't like the way the team was built. Now, Incarcerated Bob, who usually is locked into certain things, said that he felt that Dolan wanted to fire the head coach, and both Gorton and Davidson did. No, Dolan wanted to fire Gorton. Davidson refused, didn't think he should be fired. Then he fired them both. So that again, is right. From Incarcerated Bob. I'm not sure who his sources are, but we just wanted to mention it because he seems to be locked in on a lot of hockey stuff. But that's where we stand right now, trying to figure out exactly why they did it.
Well, I speculated that earlier in the show, Michael, only because I just don't get, and some of the people that I've been talking to do not get either, why JD would be fired here. All right? He's the president of the team. He is a tremendously well-liked. He's a god here at Madison Square Garden. He came after Jeff Gorton, right? He inherited Gorton. He inherited Quinn. So why would both go? Like, and listen, JD has a lot to do with the acquiring of players for sure, but, you know, your general manager, Jeff Gorton, if you've got a problem with the personnel, then fire Jeff Gorton. If you've got a problem with the coaching, fire David Quinn. Why would you fire JD, who's an icon? That's not going to make the fan base happy, all right? That's not throwing them any kind of chum for missing the playoffs. So my speculation would be, was JD collateral damage here, where, like, all right, if you're going to let Gorton go, you better let me go too, because I think this is a mistake. John Davidson is a man of conviction. I can see him, you know, putting what's right for the team ahead of just him liking being here. That makes more sense to me than Jim Dolan thinking JD is doing a poor job.
But still, I mean, the chance to there's going to be backlash on firing JD, you would think. So until the Rangers explain themselves, they have not released a statement at all. The story was broken, the Rangers, you know, then confirmed by naming Drury the president and the GM, but an explanation has not been forthcoming whatsoever.
Now, obviously, Jim is back in connection with the network. I think he's repurchased the network. I don't know if that's finalized, but, you know, he obviously has a big time say in what goes over the air. Correct? I would think there'll be a statement before we hit air at 6:30. So I would think something would happen between now and then. Now, when there would be a press conference, I don't know. They leave for Boston tonight. They're playing the Bruins Thursday, and they close out the regular season on Saturday. So does that mean they'll have something in Boston? Will they wait until the season is over to clarify this? We're going off of reports that Chris Drury is the general manager and the president. We haven't heard that from the Rangers yet. We haven't heard anything from the Rangers yet. So I just think the awkward – and this lends to the timing and the awkwardness of the timing, Michael, right? Because you've got a game tonight, then you've got a game tomorrow in another city. And then the season's over on Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock. So, you know, they would have to have the press conference from Boston, which is obviously doable now with everything on Zoom. It doesn't matter where it is. But usually when you have a press conference, Michael, with your media coming to the arena, you would have it the day of the firings. But because of the timing of it, I mean, this just came down a few hours ago.
Yeah.
It lends to the awkwardness of why now, when you could have done this on Baggy Day, right, on Sunday or Monday, where the press is all going to come here to talk to the players when they have their exit meetings, and then just have the press conference. All right, well, this is what we've done moving forward for the offseason.
Now, you're around them all the time, Don. What happened with the Mets yesterday firing Chili Davis, and then I was reading Joel Sherman's story that it's kind of been in the works for over a week, and they just had to get everything aligned. Do you believe that this has been in the works for a long time, or did it just happen all of a sudden? I mean, Dolan in the back of his mind said, well, if I ever get rid of this guy, Chris Drury is going to be the guy. You think this is something that's been planned or something spurred it on?
No, I think something spurred it on, Michael, because if you're going to plan it, if it's something that's been in the works, then why wouldn't you wait till the end of the season to announce it? There's only three games left here. So Listen, nobody's told me anything, but just reading the tea leaves, it just seems like something came to a head, which makes everybody think it has something to do with the statement. Originally, it was reported that this was J.D. and Gorton disagreeing with Jim Dolan's statement made about the Tom Wilson situation. But that's been poo-pooed by every report since then, that it's just a coincidence. But did they get in a room, and when they were discussing the statement, that certain things came up, and then an argument ensued, and a disagreement about how to move forward happened, and somebody lost their temper and said something they shouldn't have, and everybody got fired? If this was something that Jim Dolan's been itching to do for the last few weeks, he couldn't wait until after the game on Saturday or Sunday or Monday on Baggy Day to make the announcement. He makes it on a day where the team is playing on national television, right, for the fan appreciation night. And the last home game of the season with the whole Tom Wilson thing going around just doesn't seem like it's the greatest timing in the world if it was something that's been in the works for a while.
Let's get your thoughts, 1-800-919-3776, and we'll go to Tom in New Jersey. Tom.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
You got it.
All right, so I'm a big-time Rangers fan, and my concern, I'm wondering if it falls in line with you guys. With this abrupt firing of these two, and, you know, I love JD. He's a great player. You know, he's a great, color guy with Sam for a while. And I'm afraid with being so close right now with the young talent they have, do you guys have the same concern that they're going to start tearing this down and starting over again? Because it seemed like they were so close to being a contender again.
Well, I thought about it, Tom. Obviously, I'm not hooked into it like Don. For him to do it and it wasn't a specific thing, well, he doesn't like the way this has gone. So you're going to fire the two people that have spent the last couple of years with this slow, meticulous rebuild that you actually warned the fans about, and now you've taken the legs out from under it. So I don't know. Are they going to undo everything, or are they just going to make a couple of tweaks? The one thing that I would feel better about is that Drury has been in that front office the whole time. He's been involved. So I would think it's going to be some level of this plan. Right, Don?
Yeah, because, again, Chris Drury has been a part of this plan. He was named the assistant general manager a few months ago. He had been with the team working in Hartford with a lot of these guys that are now up with the team now. So he's been a part of what's happening here. So if you could say he was being groomed to eventually replace Gorton or whatever, all right, but that might explain the Gorton firing. I'm not sure it explains the JD firing at all, because you're now giving a guy that's never been a general manager in the NHL before, now adding the presidency title to him. That's according to the reports. We don't know if that's official yet or not. But you would think, Michael, that a lot of the people that are here and the direction they're going into, Chris was a part of that. So yeah. You feel like that they want to continue to move in the right direction. I think it would be a mistake to blow it. I mean, how do you blow it up? I mean, you've got the youngest team in the NHL. You got to trade them all away and bring in a bunch of veterans? I mean, where's Panarin going? Where, you know, Zibanejad, you've got to work on a deal, but I don't think he's going anyplace. Shesterkin looks like your goaltender of the future. Adam Fox is a future Norris Trophy winner. That Lindgren pairing is the top pairing in the league on the blue line. You just gave Chris Kreider a contract last year. He's not going anywhere. It looks like Ryan Strome is coming into – I really don't know what are you blowing up? I mean, you sent the letter out in February, and I think the reason the Ranger fans for the most part have been patient is because they expected that it was going to be a slow build. And now they go out and they get Panarin, and they get the number two pick in Kako. They luck out and get the number one pick for Lafreniere, winning the draft lottery. And you're gonna blow it up? That would be shocking to me if they did that.
Let's go to Vinny in Staten Island, Vinny.
How you doing, guys? I'm like, Don, I agree 100% with you. The team was being built from the ground up, and Dolan just pulled the rug right out from the team, right out from under them. I mean, this team was on the verge of doing some great things, and he just ruined it. He ruined it. And that's really all I can say about it. He just destroyed what this team was being built on.
I understand. Well, nothing's happened yet, I mean, as far as, like, personnel is concerned. I mean, like, Drury was a part of a lot that's been built here. We don't know that he's going to blow it up. We don't know he's going to trade a bunch of people. David Quinn didn't lose his job today. So there's a lot of similarities here. And it's not like, you know, we keep thinking, who are they bringing in? They may not bring in anybody, Michael. And if they don't bring in anybody, then Drury and Quinn can continue with this process. We don't know why there was the firings, but it, you know, when you say he's ruined everything, well, nothing's happened yet. I mean, I still think this is a good team. I still think they're moving forward. They haven't blown anything up yet. We see somebody else come in here, Michael, and we see more firings and trades, and then I think you can react accordingly, but nothing from a personnel standpoint has happened yet.
All right, so these are a couple of paragraphs that we've taken out of the Larry Brooks' most recent story in the Post. Quote, we're told that after 4 years out of the playoffs, Dolan had begun to question the administration of the program, whose long view does not exactly jibe with the roster, whose marquee players, Panarin, Zibanejad, and Kreider, will be between 28 and 30 when next season commences and are likely to be diminished by the time the promise coalesces. There is a part B to this, and that is there is no question that the meek manner in which the Rangers were manhandled by the Islanders when the playoffs were still in sight added to Dolan's urgency here. The prioritization of skill guys over will guys was noted, so was an absence of pushback. It is safe to suggest that this was something Dolan was not willing to abide as a part of the process, a position perhaps influenced by the unexpected success of his blue-collar Knicks team that is being led by a new regime.
But, okay, that's all great. Then how is the coach spared?
Well, the coach can only coach the players that he has. So if there's no pushback, you said there's no quote-unquote goon available for him to use.
So this is all based on what happened Monday?
I don't know.
I mean, listen, there is an awkwardness to the fact that the Islanders beat the Rangers by a collective 7-1, or excuse me, 7-0 in those two games last week. Mm-hmm. And then that same Islander team just lost back-to-back games to the Buffalo Sabres, the worst team in the NHL. I mean, is it that? Is it like, oh, I was okay with losing to the Islanders when I thought they were winning a Stanley Cup, and then that same team loses to Buffalo? Why can't you beat them? But it was just a week before that the Rangers played two games at the Coliseum where they never lose, and the Rangers got three of a possible 4 points. So everything that you've built for 4 years comes apart in three games? So you couldn't have believed much in it if just three games were going to sway you off of everything. And again, that doesn't explain why you wouldn't wait till the end of the season.
Now, Mark Messier, who we had on earlier, and I said, would you be able to coach without any prior experience? He said, 1,000%. Now, he texted a go-between and said, please tell the guys I don't want to coach. So taking some of the steam away from that. But he did say he's waiting for a phone call. He's willing and has been willing to help the Rangers and be hired by them.
Well, so what exactly does he mean then? If he's been willing,
I'm going to tell you what he means. Mark Messier is a wonderful human being, a very nice guy, and I think he wants to coach. But I think after saying that, he probably thought to himself, "Boy, that really is a bad optic, considering David Quinn is still the coach of the team, and that's probably why he wanted to retract that." I think he wants. He's made it known that he wants to coach, and 1,000% can coach. But Peter, looking back at it, he probably thought to himself, "Was that?" I don't want those guys to think that I'm after Quinn's job. And it's a Van Gundy thing, right? I think that – and I can understand that. He didn't want to be – you remember Gary Carter, Michael, did that a few years ago, and it was really bad. So I think that just Mark being a really good guy, thinking about it and going, you know what, that's – I don't want people to think I'm after a job.
I just got a text directly from Mark. Hi, Michael, just a correction. I am not interested in coaching the Rangers, Mark.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly it.
Now, how about this news that just broke, Donnie?
You got more?
Oh, yeah. This is from Andrew Marchand, who writes that Kenny Albert has been named the lead voice for TNT Hockey. And we'll call the Stanley Cups.
I'm going to have a word with Kenny. I should have heard that from Kenny. I'm going to punch him right in the forehead. I'm so happy for him. He's better than his dad. And this is another example.
Oh. Not true. Again, that's
why
not true.
Why does he do this? Peter, why does he
whatever.
Do it?
So, whatever, because I'm an ass. But I'll tell you this. It's all set up now, father and son. You know, TNT voice of basketball, dad.
But I think this is Marv's last year.
Well, that's a bad job out of him then, because I'm trying to make a point.
Well, yeah. I don't,
and then Kenny, didn't we go, the voice didn't we of go, hockey.
Didn't we go look at the history, though, and see that they have not had a lot of – I don't think that's going to happen.
So Andrew what writes, with Kenny Albert expected to call NBC's final Stanley Cup, this means he will be the voice of the Cup for four of the next 8 years.
Couldn't pick a better person.
And then and he I also guess, writes earlier, Marv Albert also could retire after Eastern Conference Finals, but nothing is officially set yet.
I would like
Michael,
to just say,
Michael, there's only one thing
has the job, Peter.
There's only one thing that matters. There's only one thing that matters, Michael.
What's that?
How does this affect our guy?
Well, now he's set up to be the ESPN guy.
So I do the Stanley Cup Final on the other games, that the ones that Kenny's not doing.
Exactly.
The ESPN one.
Yeah.
See, but that's,
that's not going to happen, though.
That's not going to happen, though. So
why is that not going to happen? Why,
because
don't go chasing waterfalls unless you could catch them.
No,
it sounds like
you're
chasing the waterfalls.
You're chasing waterfalls. I want Don to stick to the rivers and lakes that he's used to. But what I'm saying, is, Don could. Are they going to have just one? Are they going to have more than one game a week on TNT?
I don't know. Oh, so if, you're saying this could open up more Ranger games?
Not that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if Kenny's on the A team on Turner. Right. He should be putting in the word for Donnie to lead the B team. That's what I'm saying.
Well, why can't I find out what's going to happen with my family, with my company that I love and so dearly? And I talk up every chance I get? I'm going to go on the morning show, by the way, at 8:10 tomorrow to talk about the Wilson situation.
Well, by the way, that's big. This is actually a national story. We got something going here, Don. This is good. Now let me ask the obligatory question Michael's going to ask. What are they paying you?
Huh?
No, this isn't paying. But listen, if I want to be the voice of hockey for ESPN, who am I to turn down a spot on the morning show?
You have to do it.
And you know what you got to do, Don? If you really want to make an impression, you got to go full Stephen A. on the show tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
And just come out with a take that is just, bombshell.
You know what he has to do? He has to go rant. Go into a rant. I mean, don't even comb your hair tomorrow. Just come out looking like Irwin Corey.
Well,
just go nuts.
or
the Dr. Brown in Back to the Future.
There'll be no TV element to this. It's just audio.
Oh.
So
but the thing is, Michael, we got to help Don, though, because Don can't force a rant, right? So what we might have to do is talk to KJZ. Who's host? Is Alan hosting KJZ tomorrow?
I think Alan's hosting, yeah.
All right, I got it. Don't worry about it, Don. You just do what you do, okay?
Well,
I got it.
Here's the key. You could probably name less times that conversations with Keyshawn have been contentious between the two of us, right?
That's
so
a great point.
He's going to be on the air, and I think there's a good chance that he'll disagree. I'll jump him because we got a good
relationship, but we've gotten into it on the show. But we know one thing about you. You can't force a rant. You never have. You never will. And, Michael, you know what the tragedy would be?
What? He curses on the air?
He gets this huge moment. He forces a rant, and the whole thing comes crumbling down. You can't do that.
I will never force. I'm just telling you that there's, you know, it's going to be early in the morning, which is not good for me. And me and Keyshawn go at it. Now, I have a feeling it's going to be a very one-sided conversation between me and Alan because it's hockey. But
it's hockey, man.
Been doing it for 40 years.
Hey, listen, well, TNT's got to jump, right, man? The season isn't even over yet, and they've already hired Kenny. So,
all right, so we're going to have on the great, handsome Rick DiPietro in a moment to give his take on what's happening with the Rangers. He's also pretty close with David Quinn. So there you go. This portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pickard designed the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget. Visit 2 by London at the Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. All right, DP.
Well, I got more big news here, Michael.
What's that?
Is big. Oh, no.
Kenny Albert not only accepted the TNT job, he has just accepted the job for the Clifton, New Jersey Intramural Girls Lacrosse League. He's doing that Wednesday night. Yep, he's broadcasting on Twitch. It's going to be unbelievable.
That's interesting. He loves the microphone as much as Don. Anyway, when we come back, Rick DiPietro on Yes on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.